Everyone, thank you for tuning into the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. You're listening to episode 37 of Postmodern Realities, and I'm Melanie Cogdill, managing editor of the Christian Research Journal. On this episode, I'm joined by Caleb Woodbridge, who works in publishing in the UK and has a master's degree in English literature from Cardiff University in Wales. In the 2017 volume 40, number 2 issue of the Christian Research Journal, Caleb has written an article for our Viewpoint column. Viewpoint addresses relevant contemporary issues in discernment and apologetics from a particular perspective that's not usually shared by all Christians. We hope that readers' thinking on Viewpoint issues will be stimulated and enhanced, whether or not readers end up agreeing with the author. Caleb's Viewpoint article is called Choose Your Own Enchantment, Freedom and Conscience in What We Watch. Caleb, it's good to have you on.
Hello, it's good to be joining you.
Well, I really enjoyed your article, and I like how in the introduction you say that a well-made film or television show can touch a heart, change a mind, or redirect a life, and I think that's really true. Last fall, I saw the film Arrival twice, and I really felt that about that film. But in terms of freedom and conscience and what we watch, what prompted you to write this particular article?
Yeah, so there was some discussion online that I saw around an article that the blogger Tim Challies had written about Stranger Things on Netflix. He gave his reasons why he'd stopped watching at the end of, I think, the second episode. And well, I thought he raised some good questions about how Christians choose to watch. I thought that the way he read that particular story, the way he interpreted its intentions, and also just some of the assumptions around how Christians should engage with stories, perhaps weren't the most helpful framework. So I was then just thinking, okay, so how can we navigate this in a constructive way, in a way that both takes into account that perhaps there are some things that it's best not to watch, but also just affirming the goodness of stories as part of God's creation and how we image him in sharing stories with one another. So just trying to work through and tease out some of those questions and issues.
Yeah, that was very challenging to read that you wrote that our enjoyment of culture as Christians can honor God. But when thinking about that, what do you think you said that this particular debate online over his article about not watching Stranger Things or ceasing to watch that, what are some of the pitfalls you think that Christians will fall into deciding what to watch and read?
Yeah, so I think one of the common things is to assume that we should not watch or read something that describes bad things happening, that there's a kind of endorsement implicit in the mere depiction of things. But one of the things I try to bring out is how actually it's more complicated than that, because if we weren't supposed to read anything, any depictions of bad things happening, then that would leave large chunks of the Bible where we couldn't read it. What's far more important is the narrative and intent and context. What kind of attitude is the story encouraging you to take to those things? And I think an important part of storytelling is that it has to be true to the reality that we live in a fallen world. But what matters is how does the story respond to that? And it might be a good response, it might be a bad response, but simply the fact that, the situation in Stranger Things is that two of the young characters, two of the teenagers have sex together, actually that, in the context of that story, that's not being presented in a very positive light, I thought. So to suggest that simply by watching that, that we're endorsing or enjoying sin is perhaps too flat a reading of it, being a bit too legalistic in terms of just looking at the surface thing without thinking about the intent behind it. So that's one pitfall on one side. But then there's definitely a danger of just being, anything goes. And that's probably not a helpful approach either. I think in today's culture, it's very, very much, if you're into engaging with culture, you're much more likely to fall into that one and decry any attempt to think about conscience as legalism. So it's kind of trying to find a gospel middle way where it's not legalism, it's not it's not being just libertarian about it, anything goes, but without setting rules on other people, deciding in your own conscience what you think is right to watch and what is pleasing and honoring to God in that.
You know, you were just mentioning a few moments ago that good stories will reflect all kinds of things that are going on in the world, including things that are, you know, hard to think about. What would you think? I mean, I think there's a lot going on in the world that's really terrible. I know that, you know, Christians worldwide are being persecuted. You know, recently there were, you know, Coptic Christians, their churches were being burned down in Egypt and all kinds of things. So these are kind of horrific stories. I mean, real life things that are happening. So in light of that, are there stories, do you think, that people in the West, in terms of like the UK or the US or, you know, in Europe, do you think that we're more comfortable with engaging with certain kinds of stories over others?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I think there's certain stories that we are more comfortable with, and it's interesting just how the norms of what's acceptable to depict on television, for example, have changed massively over the last few decades. You can show and depict so much more. And I think there can be one of the worries with that is a desensitization to violence, to sexuality, making something that's sacred, that should be kept off stage, just putting it front and centre. But it's interesting how different things at different times become more of a concern. I think certainly we'd be much more. Now it's almost taboo to show someone smoking on television, and so that without that having any kind of moral reprimand, whereas casual sex, yeah, great. Whereas 50 years ago, you wouldn't have worried at all about the smoking, but you'd have worried about the sex, and it's just different norms of valuing health over sexual morality changing over time. So.
You're listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. Today's guest is Caleb Woodbridge, who wrote the Viewpoint article for the 2017 Volume 40, Number 2 issue of the Christian Research Journal. and it's called Choose Your Own Enchantment, Freedom and Conscience in What We Watch. To read his article, please subscribe to the journal. A 6-issue subscription is $39.50, and to subscribe online, visit equip.org. And I will say it's $39.50 U.S. dollars, in case anyone else outside the U.S. is listening to this particular episode. You were talking a little bit about just, you know, what is the balance between, you know, legalism and just a laissez-faire libertine kind of approach to media. So what are some broad foundations for Christians to make those wise choices about what they, you know, intake in terms of culture?
Yeah. So I think it is really important to just have that creational affirmation that God created us as creative beings to continue his work of creation. And so the making of culture, enjoying culture, those are good gifts from God. We can think of the goodness of creation purely in terms of nature, of sunsets and waterfalls and so on. And obviously those are wonderful, but the creation in which we cooperate, the way in which we use light and time and sound, all those things that God has made to form stories on a cinema screen or on a TV screen, the way that we capture something of the world through words, through the gift of language that God has given us, and have those on the page, and those tell a story. So I think recognizing the goodness of storytelling and its power and its ability to transport us and to take us into other worlds and other lives is a really fantastic thing. But then it is recognizing that, like everything else, it is affected by the fall. And so the stories we believe shape how we act, and that's something powerful. And when Satan tempted Adam and Eve, it was giving them an alternative story which they bought into. So it is recognizing the power that stories have over us. But I think just that thing that when you submit to the enchantment of a story, you don't necessarily know beforehand where it's going to go. So it's always a bit of a risky adventure, opening a new book or starting a new film. But it's probably a risk worth taking, though we need to sometimes step back, perhaps, but start off from the point of view of this is something good, we should try and enjoy it, and in enjoying it, we're actually honoring God and honoring his gifts.
Well, the subtitle of your article is Freedom and Conscience in What We Watch. Can you help us a little bit with describing how you would define conscience and how that affects the choices that we make about what we consume?
Yeah, so I think one of the things that was valuable about Tim Chelly's article that I mentioned earlier is just reminding of the importance of conscience. And I think it's that internal sense of right and wrong. It's Paul talks in Romans about how conscience is the law written on the heart. But I think, and in part, that's there are objective moral standards, and conscience is a sometimes wonky compass, but it kind of points us in the direction of what's right and wrong. But then I think there's another sense in which we talk about conscience, which is those things where The Bible doesn't give us explicit commands one way or another. So it's a matter of wisdom. It's a matter of applying the broad principles ourselves. And I think it's really important to recognise that we've got different thresholds if we're affected by different things in different ways. So what someone might be able to read and get a lot of good out of and a lot of nourishment and insight and thought, someone else might find completely unhelpful, say, because they're very sensitive to violence and it just is too affecting to them, so that they can't benefit from the rest of what the story has to offer. And it's just knowing our own limits in what we think that we can take in without being negatively affected or having our hearts drawn to approve what isn't good or to dislike what is good. And that element of how's it training your heart, what's it encouraging you to like or dislike, to approve or to shy away from, is a really important part of that.
Well, one thing I want to know from you, because I'm a mom and have two kids, is if you grew up in a Christian family and the approach that your parents took to media consumption. I know for me, I've always entered into it with my kids. So if I knew there was like a hot new young adult series, I would read that series. I remember when Lemony Snicket's, you know, Series of Unfortunate Events came up, and I read that whole thing, and there were just some things about it I didn't think my kids would understand. I understood what was going on. I wasn't really sure if that was appropriate. But then there are other series. I mean, Harry Potter's one of my favorite series. And then the first R-rated movie that my oldest son went to, I remember I saw it first, and I thought, he was 12 at the time, and I thought, this is a movie that I want to take him to see, because there wasn't really anything objectionable. I think there was a Slumdog Millionaire, there was some suggestion of things and a couple of torture scenes, but because my oldest has a lot of food allergies, he won't ever be able to travel abroad, specifically never to India, and so I felt like he could immerse himself in understanding what it would be like to be this, you know, kid, or see that kids lived on these dumps of trash and so forth. But he would never be able to go there, and he would be able to experience this story. And so, you know, I went, and I didn't feel it was objectionable, so I took him to it, and that was his first R-rated movie. And so I would like to know what your parents did with you, if your parents were Christians, because I know there's a lot of different approaches among Christian parents towards media.
Yeah. So I think my parents would have struggled to keep up with all my reading, to be honest. But they did talk to me about stuff. And I think I was a real bookworm when I was growing up. And sometimes there'd be things and they'd be like, oh, are you sure about that? But I think there was an element of trust, because certainly once I was getting a bit older, they could see from talking to me that I wasn't just taking things on board uncritically, that I was reflecting on what I was reading and watching, and so they were a bit more willing to sort of loosen the reins and not be checking in on everything I read, but chatting to me about what I was enjoying. So I think there were some times where I'd get a bit frustrated, where they'd sort of jump on something that raised alarm bells for them. I remember that, I don't know if you, if the Demon Headmaster books and TV series made it over to America, but it's basically about an evil headmaster of a school who is a hypnotist and so mind controls all the pupils and is trying to take over the world. So there's actually nothing supernatural about it. I remember my parents going, "Oh, that doesn't sound very good," and me rolling my eyes. But in retrospect, I can appreciate that they were taking care to be involved in what I was engaging with, and to be chatting to me about stuff and prompting me to think about the themes and about the world views and so on in different stories. Although I do think that sometimes Christians, although it's good to bear in mind those things, it is okay to just enjoy a movie. You don't have to do a worldview seminar with every film you watch. And I think as a teenager, I could sometimes feel that I'm a little bit constrained about not just being able to kick back. I don't know if that was my parents' fault or just the way I took things on board.
Well, I have to say, I've never heard of the series Demon Headmaster, so I'm not really sure if it, and maybe that was, you know, after my time, but so it's possible that it made it over here, but I've never heard of it. In your article, you talk about, you know, just this kind of a gray area, something that might tempt somebody that they definitely should not watch, might not tempt the other person. So have there been, you know, stories, books, films, television that you've enjoyed that other Christians have issues with? Or how do you recommend things that some would think have, you know, questionable content? And do you usually give them like a disclaimer, like, you know, we have, I don't know if you have this in the UK, but in the US we have websites like Common Sense Media, and you can put in a movie and it could be like, okay, parents should know that, you know, there's this many F-bombs or whatever's happening. Like, do you give people a disclaimer, or do you just kind of let, you know, hey, this is the film, you should see it. You kind of let the work speak for itself. I mean, how do you interact with others if they're asking you about something that they might find questionable?
Yeah, I mean, I think that depends on knowing the person and trying to have a sense of where they're coming from, the kinds of things that they would find acceptable or not, helpful or not. There is a big relational aspect to it, and I think trying to draw hard and fast lines for everyone is one of the ways where you run into difficulties. But then it is important to be able to let people make informed choices about stuff. I think this book or this film is really really interesting. I mean, an example might be something like Game of Thrones, which is a bit complicated because there's differences between the books and the TV series, both in how they handle stuff and also in the impact that reading something has versus watching something has, I'd probably might say, it's really interesting how George R. R. Martin is on the side of those who are trampled and oppressed, and that's kind of part of the moral framework that's there, even though often the bad guys seem to be winning and it's not clear cut, good guys and bad guys. There is a moral sense to it, and might say, oh, it's interesting to read that and enjoy that in a fantasy setting. But to say to people, well, you know, it's going to be pretty violent and there's a lot of sexuality, so you might want to think whether that's something that you're okay with or not. And I think not not judging people who either draw the lines more tightly than us or draw them more loosely, just recognizing that that people can, in good conscience, make different decisions.
Yes, I would say my examples would be Game of Thrones and also Westworld. Mm. I mean, those are two kinds of, I really like fantasy and sci-fi a lot.
Yeah.
Star Wars is my favorite movie of all time, so I love fantasy. But Game of Thrones to me, not, you know, obviously there's a lot of nudity and sexuality, but there's a lot of objectification of women and they've shown graphic rape scenes and so forth. And I just don't find that would be particularly edifying to watch in kind of an entertainment forum. Those would be two. And Westworld, I think just there's a lot of gratuitous, you know, nudity. That's a pass. Have there been any stories that you've stopped watching or reading because of conscience?
Yeah. So I think for me, I was happy to read the book of Game of Thrones, but I think because I do process the experience of reading something, you're kind of a bit more in control. You can kind of skim over bits or put the book down and walk away and come back to it and so on. So I think for me, I was able to engage with the book, but when it came to the TV series, I watched a few episodes. I thought, you know, actually, this is making me uncomfortable, and I'm not sure I should be watching this. I think other Christians may be able to do so. There's been some people who've been Christian leaders who've been quite outspoken in saying that they don't think Christians should watch it. I think it's worth weighing up those perspectives thoughtfully and prayerfully, but I do think that for some people, they can certainly be watching that show and engaging with it in a way that isn't a sin, that isn't going against either the individual conscience or any commands given by the Bible. Another one was the book of American Gods, and I love a lot of Neil Gaiman's writing, but I just found that book a bit much, and I won't be checking out the TV series as much. But, well, I might take a look, but I think it's one of those ones where the concepts of gods and their place in the modern world and the characters and putting a modern spin on it, all of that's really appealing and part of me wants to watch it. But I know it's going to be quite over the top with some of the content. It just alienates me as a viewer and makes it hard for me to enjoy the other things that the story has to offer.
Yes, I just heard a story on the news about them, you know, filming American Gods, or getting ready to film it, and some of the things that they were describing were a combination of just explicit sexuality with blasphemy. I'm just like, yeah, there's no way I'm going to watch that. But I have appreciated some of Neil Gaiman's stories. So, you know, like you said, you have to definitely decide for yourself as to, you know, what would be appropriate for you and where you are. Finally, I want to ask you how engaging with stories can help us in connect with others. I mean, I just find, you know, literature and film and television to be very powerful. And then there's a lot of ways in which, I mean, obviously I appreciate your thoughts on just being able to enjoy something or take it in without always having to dissect a worldview. But at the same time, even stories that some people might find objectionable, I know that we in our magazine have used them to say that there is apologetic value for some of these stories. For example, Breaking Bad, which some Christians might find objectionable. Or we did an article on The Walking Dead, which some people might find zombies very objectionable. But there are some things that were thoughtful for Christians to use for apologetic value, especially because so many non-Christians, I would say, you know, at one point we had published an article that was television is the new literature, just movies and television, this visual media has almost become more, you know, people are doing that more, engaging in that in terms of everyone's watched such a series, like everyone's watched Stranger Things. I recently got Netflix, so I didn't have it until recently. So now I can get on the bandwagon, watch Stranger Things. But so it seems like there's some common thread, these things that people are interested in, various series and so forth, or even books like Harry Potter. So how can engaging with stories help us connect to others?
Yeah. I think that stories are one of the ways that we do form connections as human beings. They allow us to engage with life's big questions in a way that's enjoyable and compelling, to share the way that we see the world. And so I think watching a story well, listening to a story well, reading a story well, that's a way of listening to our neighbours, and listening to other people is a way of loving them, and it's a first step to a conversation where we can talk about those things that matter, that we can talk about how we approach life, what matters in life, questions of good and evil, life and death. And it takes us outside of ourselves. It gives us empathy and insight into different cultures, different situations. So C.S. Lewis writes beautifully about this in his Experiment on Criticism essay, and I quote from that in the article. But it's we long to see with other eyes, imagine with other imaginations. We demand windows, and stories are windows into other people's lives and hearts, and they can be doors too for conversations and for sharing the grand story that as Christians we believe of creation for redemption through Jesus Christ, through finding the connections and seeing how stories, our small stories connect to that big story.
Well, finally, I want to end with some fun rapid-fire questions for Caleb. So, Caleb, fish and chips or curry?
Oh, curry.
How many siblings do you have, and what are their names?
Becky and Hannah, two sisters.
And you live in the UK, so what's your favorite thing about living in the UK?
I think history and old buildings. So it's rather ironic that I live in Milton Keynes, which was a new town that was built only 50 years ago, and so it doesn't have any of that.
Well, here in America, we have something called AAA. So if you get, you know, broken down on the road or something, you can call them. But if you can't, can you change a tire? I don't know if you do change tires if your car gets a flat tire.
I've never attempted it. I'd probably be rather useless. I'm not a car person.
Well, thanks, Caleb, for being a guest on the Postmodern Realities podcast.
Thank you for having me. It's been fun.
Caleb Woodbridge has written a viewpoint article for the 2017 Volume 40, Number 2 issue of the Christian Research Journal, and it's called Choose Your Own Enchantment, Freedom and Conscience in What We Watch. To read his article, please subscribe to the journal. A 6-issue subscription is $39.50, and to subscribe online, visit equip.org. We'd like to hear from you, so please connect with us on social media, like the Bible Answer Man Facebook page, and follow CRI, Christian Research Journal, The Bible Answer Man, Hank Canegraaff on Twitter. If you like this episode, please subscribe to the Postmodern Reality Podcast on iTunes, and please rate our podcast as well. And please share this episode on your social media accounts. Be sure you tune in daily to the Bible Answer Man broadcast hosted by CRI President Hank Canegraaff, who answers your questions live on air. To ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Make sure you go to equip.org where you can download our free smartphone app on which you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live, listen to previous broadcasts, make a donation, and subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. So until our next author conversation, thanks for listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast.